This episode is sponsored by BetterHelp. Earners, what's up? Look, today I want to talk to you about something that's been on my mind, a real weight on my shoulders. You know, we all have these moments, big or small, that just stick with us. When we don't talk about these things, then they can start to affect our lives in unexpected ways. That's why having a space to express these feelings is so important. I know firsthand the benefits of therapy. It's been transformative for my friends and family. Therapy can help you learn crucial skills like setting boundaries and developing coping strategies. It's not just about dealing with major events. It's also about enhancing your day-to-day life, allowing you to become the best version of yourself. So if you've been thinking about therapy, BetterHelp can be a great option for you. It's entirely online, which makes it super convenient and adaptable to your busy schedule. You start by filling out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist. And you can even switch therapists at any time if you feel the need without any additional cost. So get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/earnyourleisure today to get 10% off your first month. Remember, that's BetterHelp, HELP.com/earnyourleisure. Don't wait. Don't hesitate. Head over there now. Earners, what's up? Look, I want to give y'all a little peek behind the curtain of producing Earn Your Leisure. It's a lot more than just sitting down and chatting. It involves meticulous planning, recording, editing, and then promoting each episode to ensure it reaches all of you. And if you picked up any of our merch, then you know there's a whole extra layer of logistics from inventory management to shipping. Running a podcast is like running a small business. And speaking of business, I know many of you entrepreneurs are involved in e-commerce. You understand how crucial it is to streamline operations and cut costs wherever possible. That's why I want to talk to you about ShipStation, the multi-carrier shipping solution that integrates seamlessly with all your online sales channels. It's all about optimizing your shipping, connecting with expert partners, and freeing up more of your time to focus on scaling your business. Now let's talk about our experience with ShipStation. This tool has been a game changer for us, especially with automating routine tasks. Being able to manage everything from one dashboard and print shipping labels with just a click, absolute lifesavers. Plus, the discounts we get on shipping costs are incredible. Honestly, it feels like we're saving thousands. And as our show and merch sales have grown, ShipStation's robust automation and reporting features have helped us keep up without missing a beat. For those of you who get overwhelmed by order volumes, ShipStation's easy-to-use dashboard is a dream come true. You can import orders from any sales channel, apply shipping preferences automatically, and handle customer service issues right there. Not to mention the savings with up to 89% off carrier rates like UPS, DHL Express, and USPS. It's no wonder over 130,000 companies stick with ShipStation long term. So, are you ready to turn your shipping challenges into growth opportunities? Head over to ShipStation.com and use promo code EARN for a free 60-day trial. Again, that's ShipStation.com, promo code EARN. Start streamlining your shipping and scaling your business today.
All right, guys. So a lot of people ask us, how do they make a podcast? So I'm going to let you know on a secret. On the easiest, most productive way to start a podcast and get it up and running, and that is the app called Anchor. It's free. They have all kind of cool creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcast right from your phone or computer. They will distribute your podcast for you to all of the major outlets, including Spotify, Apple, Google, and many more. And you can make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership. It's everything you need to make a podcast in one simple, easy place. So if you're interested in starting a podcast, go download the free Anchor app or go to anchor.fm to get started. Let's do it.
My graduates from my school being Forbes, backdrop. F- a mic drop, backdrop.
Wholesaling 101, right? So, it's a couple of things that I had looked at in preparing for this interview. So, when identifying your market, right? So, I saw you even talked about it as far as like your zip code.
Yeah, right? That granular.
All right. So, I guess for somebody that wants to get involved in wholesaling and they're just getting started, like how you just got started, you have to formulate a game plan before you do anything in life, right? So I guess the first game plan is understanding your neighborhood. Is that correct?
Yeah. So understanding like your area, your city. And like every city has what they call gentrification, right? Like what happens is you have neighborhoods that are going to transition into mid-class likeness. That's what gentrification is. So that's going to happen all the time. Whether you're a part of it or not is up to you. So essentially what happens is you need to know what part of your city is up and coming. That's all it means. And once you find out that part, whether you can do visually, like driving around because you know your city, you've been there since you were a kid, or you can use technology, which we use ListSource and do a free method of finding this, you can then find what zip codes are hot. And how they do it is they say, all right, how many cash transactions has happened in this county? And then we break it down by zip code. And then the ones that have the most cash transactions, that means somebody's buying these properties.
Follow the money.
Cash transactions, like somebody's buying a home in cash.
Cash, yeah.
So by doing that, you know if more people are buying homes in cash, more affluent people are moving into neighborhood.
Yeah, because what happens is when somebody buys a house in cash, more than like there's no financing involved, that means it needs a flip, right? So because you can't really buy a flip property with bank financing, right? They won't loan you money on something that needs work. The bank is never going to take an upside down position on anything.
So what's the app called? ListSource. ListSource.
Yeah, and I have a video. Like it goes more into detail, ListSource is of things that gives you list of anything kind of you want about people, right? But you can find out the hot properties or the hot zip codes on this way we find out how to.
Yeah. Once you've mastered your area, one of the big things that you talk about is driving for dollars.
Yeah.
Can you talk about that technique and the intricacies of that?
That's how I got my first deal, was driving for dollars. And that just basically means you're driving around looking for distressed property, physically distressed, right? And these are
shackles hanging.
Yeah, it could be like your gutters are hanging down. Somebody hasn't cut the grass. The bushes are high. Old junky cars in the driveway that haven't moved. Now, what happens is we see these every day.
Right.
But your mind has already been trained to block these out. I know if you untrained yourself and looked, you'll see houses. It'd be, yo, that house been there for 10 years. Ain't nobody ever looked at that.
Because our eyes are really trained to see, like, yo, that's the nicest house on the block.
Correct. And you go past the ugliness. It's just the way we look
at it. No, I mean, even as a kid, I remember being on a school bus, and you could always tell, like, that house is the worst house in the neighborhood. Yeah. They never cut the grass. The paint's always chipped.
Mm-hmm.
But growing up, you just thinking the people don't care about their home.
Yeah,
you're not thinking that. Maybe nobody lives there.
Yeah. Correct.
Maybe it's a distressed property.
Correct. So once you find that distressed property, you need to find the owner. And my buddy Dave Lecko created an app called Deal Machine, which allows you to drive around, take a picture of the property, and it pinpoints it. And it actually will send a postcard to the owner asking if they want to sell that.
On your behalf.
On your behalf for you.
Deal Machine?
Yeah, with your number on it.
Wow.
So you can customize this postcard. So, but that's like fairly new technology. When I started, they didn't have that. We had to go around taking screenshots of pin drops on like Apple Maps or something like that, and then go back home and search who owns it.
So we got the property, and we're driving for dollars. Mm-hmm. And then you had something called skip tracing.
Yeah, so that's important. So skip tracing, essentially where that word skip tracing came from. So I used to be a bounty hunter, a bail bondsman.
Really? Oh, yeah?
Yeah. So that's one of
like dog, like dog,
I got
like
a lot of them, right?
Dog the bounty hunter?
I was better than dog. I just say I had a TV show.
Oh, for real? Yo, this guy shot does it all.
So skip tracing means that you're skipping a trick. You're tracing a skip. Essentially, what that means is somebody who does not go to court is considered a skip, and you need to trace them down. So that's where the word comes from.
Right.
But now we're not really dealing with that. We're dealing with people that own houses that we can't find them. So essentially, what happens is you find a house with the tall grass, you take a picture of it, you write down the address, you need to know who owns it. So you go on the county records. Every single property in America is owned by somebody or something, right? So in every county, there's a tax assessor's website, right? So I can look up who owns any house in America. So you go to that county's website. So here, I think it'd be Westchester County Tax Assessors, right? And then you would put in the address of the property and it'll say, oh, this person owns that property. Now I need to get a hold of that person. So skip tracing is where you put that person's name and mailing address into the system, and it's gonna spit out the numbers that that this person has.
Like cell phone numbers. Telephone numbers?
Yeah, yeah.
Wow.
What's it called? Skip Tracing?
SkipTracing.com?
REISkip.com.
REISkip.
And that's yours.
Yeah. So that was part of that was part of how I got
big.
Big because I knew because of my old background of skip tracing humans. It's the same thing. I got to skip trace humans, but now I have their name and their address.
Did you get this from military training? Like,
no, it was just something that we developed as bounty hunters.
So you flipped it because before you were looking for people that you actually had to arrest.
Yeah.
And flipped it into a, now I'm looking for the person that owns this house.
Simple.
I need your number. I'm calling you up.
That's it.
When, off topic a little bit. When were you a bounty hunter? When were you going to tell us about this?
Yeah.
Yo,
I got mad. I got 10 to 12. I used to have a car lot. I used to have all types of stuff, man. I was a bounty hunter in between while building that app and getting in the real estate.
Wow.
Yeah.
In North Carolina?
I actually traveled into, like, I'm still licensed.
In North Carolina?
Yeah, I'm still licensed at a bounty hunter. Because
Three jobs.
Yeah.
Three jobs.
You know already. because I had to have, I'm still a licensed bounty hunter. And I'm still a licensed bondsman because I get access to data most people don't get. I get the same data the cops get.
And you've leveraged it.
Yeah, I leveraged that small, you know, license into millions.
Now, you know what thing I like? Because like a lot of our guests have similar stories where they've had troubling times and they had to like figure things out. And then a lot of our guests have similar stories where they use things in their past to help them. Like, you ever heard John Henry?
Yeah, of course.
So John Henry, shout out to John. He was his story, he was a doorman.
A doorman at the hotel.
And he came up and he started $1 million cleaning business, but his marketing plan was to go to all the doormen and get them to refer their residents. He paid them. But long story short, he was saying like he can't call himself a genius for that because that's what he knew. He knew the doorman industry because he was a doorman.
Yeah.
Like you were a bounty hunter, but it's like you knew like I can get people's information from this. Now I'm in real estate. How can I commingle this and actually make it all work?
And that's why your failures are your biggest successes, because that failure made me make millions. You know, it put me in a different category.
And that's important for people to understand too, because a lot of times everybody's doing something. And even like your path to success might be totally different from what you're currently doing, but you can still use what you did in the past in some capacity to help your success in the future.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Yeah. So now we got that, we got the address. How do we get the property under contract?
So you're gonna call a person and you simply gonna have a conversation. This is where a lot of people fall short. People hate talking to people that they don't know.
Mm. Elevator script.
Yeah. So we've developed a lot of scripts over the time, but it's real simple. Immediately, you need to identify who you are. Hey, my name is Max. I'm a local real estate investor. Right? That puts their guards down. But if somebody calls you and says, hey.
You have a moment of your time.
Yeah. Done. I'm hanging up. You ain't even getting past that. Especially in New York, you're not getting past that at all. You might even get a pickup.
Banging on you.
Yeah. So then somebody's intrigued. Okay, well, you're a real estate investor. I was going past a property down on 123 Main Street, and I think you may own it. I was wondering if you were interested in even selling it all. That simple. You're going to get yes, no, or maybe. Mm. Or you're going to a lot of FUs in between there, right? So, or you got the wrong number, right? Do you know who owns that property?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, I own that property. Okay, well, great. Are you thinking about selling it? Well, I got it from my mom, and I actually live in the city now. And, you know, it needs some work, and I really don't have, the time, and I don't want to keep paying the taxes. Okay, well, I'm a real estate investor. I actually specialize in buying properties like this.
Mm-hmm.
Would you be interested in a cash offer? Actually, I would be. And then that's when you start that negotiation.
Mm.
Well, great. Well, what number were you looking for? You know, what can I give you cash that would just make you walk away from it? And then that starts. That's called anchoring.
Yeah.
Making somebody give you a price to anchor themselves on.
And that doesn't happen just in, a lot of people think that can't happen in affluent neighborhoods. But you said
all the time.
Absolutely. That's what you should be looking.
Yeah. I mean, for us in the South, like a $250,000 house is a nice neighborhood.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So I own a couple of those. Right, off of people that, it happens a lot. People inherit things that they don't want. I mean, not in our culture, but there's a lot where people like really will inherit a $250,000 house with some acreage and be like, yo, I live in Denver. I don't want to go back to mom's house. I remember having Christmas there in 93. I'm not trying to go back. So things like that, and then just there's so many different ways why people don't want a house. It's like a car.
No, it's pretty common. Like you said, not in our communities,
yeah.
Unfortunately.
Yeah.
Never happens. It's pretty common in other communities, for sure. And you'll be surprised.
But you know, actually, it happens more than we actually think in our community. We just don't realize. You know, like, because it's considered a hood. So you don't want grandma's house.
That's true.
That's true. And you just let it go for tax delinquent.
That's true.
And then somebody like me comes and buys it for $10,000.
Yeah.
So as a wholesaler, the person... you're always offering cash offers. It's always have to be cash offers.
Yeah, because no bank is going to finance that. So you got to go find somebody else that's in the business of flipping properties.
So we're talking private or hard money loans?
Typically, yeah, they can have access to private or hard money loans. Private is through relationships. Hard money is going to be through your resume, essentially, right?
Yeah.
You know, you flip 7 houses this year, of course we'll loan you money because you know what you're doing. Private money is based off of, yo, I know you got some money sitting in your IRA and you want to put it to work. But yeah, you want to find that person that makes his money through flipping. You know, one thing I understand is that people have money, they got to spend it, right? So it depends just where you at on that food chain.
Yeah, and people that have money always want to make more money.
That's how they live.
Yeah.
They in the I quadrant of their life.
So we got the contract. Now we got to get to the closing.
No, yeah. before the closing.
Oh, okay.
So I had a question. All right. So cold calling is essentially cold calling when because very few people understand cold calling.
Yeah.
I've done cold calling before, and I don't like it.
Nobody, I don't like it. A lot of people don't.
So, but I can see how this can stop people from actually moving forward, right? This is a big thing.
Yeah.
If you've never done it before, you can't fully appreciate. It's like one of the most nerve-wracking things you can do. Like literally, like you make up every excuse in the world not to cold call. Like you're like walk around the neighborhood, you get lunch, and you say it's too early,
it's too late,
I'll call tomorrow. You make all kinds of excuses. So how do you, because you have to, either that or you're knocking on somebody's door.
Every deal ends on the phone. Every single deal you do, whether you like it or not, is gonna end up on the phone at some point in time.
So, like, what do you tell people to, like, ease their nerves to cold call?
One thing we do is we give them scripts.
Right? Oh, they have to make it up.
Yeah, so I'm going to give you your scripts, and then I'm going to give you most common rebuttals so that you can have an answer, right? So, like, if you're going to ask your mom and you always know what she's going to say, it's more easy for you to ask a question because you already got the answer because you know her response. So it's the same thing. Like when you go talk to these strangers, these people you don't know, they got three answers, or three or four different answers they're going to give you. And you need to be able to rebuttal those things.
You know what got me over my fear of cold calling too? Personally, I still don't do a lot of cold calling, but it just got me out of my, because I was terrified by it. I had to sit down and say, am I going to die? If you're not going to die, it's not that bad.
Did you make money from cold calling ever?
I have.
Yeah.
I have. And at the end of the day, they don't know you. And the worst they can say is no.
Or cuss you out. Who cares?
We're going to move on to the next call.
Yeah. So just, they don't know you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just keep going. Keep moving. You get cussed out in the subway here all the time anyway. Yeah. So that should be normal.
Don't take it personal.
If it's not going to kill you, it's not that serious. That's how I look at it. So what is the maximum allowable offer?
So the MOA is the maximum amount of money that you can offer on this property and still make a profit. So I'll break it down. So like if a house is worth $100,000 fixed up, right? We found that out by doing comparable properties. We've seen that the house down the street sold for $100,000, very similar square footage, bedrooms and baths. The house up there sold for $98,000. So now we're in that $100,000 range. So we know that the flipper is gonna fix this and sell it for $100,000. So let's just say $100,000. Now in my market, it's lukewarm. It's not like an LA or a Phoenix or New York where, you know, properties go above and beyond asking price a bunch, right? So we take off, we minus 30% from the actual ARV, the after repair value of the property. Right, so now if you did that, 100,000 minus 30%, you're at 70,000.
Yep.
And let's just say you walked that house and you went in there and you think it needs $20,000, $25,000, and just say $20,000 in repairs. So you know that this flipper is going to spend $20,000 to get it to the point where he can actually put it on the market for 100. So you're going to deduct that. So we went from 100 to 70 minus repairs. Now we at 50. So if you actually buy this property at $50,000 right now, it's actually a good deal for the flipper, but you ain't made no money yet, right?
As a wholesaler.
As a wholesaler, you didn't get
nothing. Right, so if the flipper himself knocked on this door, talked to him, he'd be able to buy it 50. But you need to make some money, so you need to throw a pad or a buffer in there. So you need to be offering, if you want to make 10,000, your offer needs to be, your maximum allowable offer needs to be 40,000. Mm. Right?
Mm-hmm.
So now you're going to sell your contract for 50, 40 for the 40 that they got to buy the house, 10 for your assignment, total of 50, right? Now we're back where the flipper is going to make some money. But you, if you want it at 40, you're never going to offer 40. You're going to offer below that.
30.
Yeah, so you deliver 30. So typically 15% below of what you want is where you want to be at. So that you do that, you put you around $36,000, $34,000.
Got to have the win built in.
Exactly. The win built in. And you never know. They might take 30. You never know.
Yeah, right. You can come up with 20.
So that. Let me ask you this. Because essentially, it's like a middleman situation, right?
This whole world is about middle. Most richest companies in the world are middlemen.
True.
Amazon, Walmart.
True.
You, Uber.
Airbnb.
They don't own anything. They're middlemen. Amazon's a logistic company. They don't make products. They house products that other people make and you buy them.
They have cloud storage.
Yeah. Car dealerships. You can't buy a car in America without going through a dealership. They're middlemen. They don't make the car. They're middlemen. Middlemen make the most money in America. You got to solve a problem with convenience.
True. This is true. So... That's true. But my question is, all right, but why is it more appealing in your opinion to be on that side of it as opposed to just buying it, like just being an investor?
Yeah.
Is more risk involved being an investor?
It's a lot more risk.
More money involved too, right?
More risk and more risk, more money, but do you want a fast nickel or a slow dime? Depends on your business model.
Mm.
I see this a lot. I see where wholesalers think it's a negative connotation to the name and they want to be flippers. And then I see flippers looking at wholesalers and wanting to be wholesalers.
So they see the profit margins higher.
The risk versus reward.
Mm.
Now, could Amazon make every single product they have in the store? Absolutely. Do they want to take that risk of holding inventory that they own? For what?
Mm.
Mm, a fast nickel or a slow dime. I like that.
Yeah.
I like that.
So if we're doing this, if we're wholesaling as a side thing, right?
Yeah.
How many properties do you think we have to do before it becomes a full-time situation?
It depends, right? Everybody has their their freedom mark. You know, I always used to say if I made six figures, I'd be great.
Right.
That, we know that's not
until like, you made six figures.
So like it's not, it's it just depends where you want to be at.
Right.
Now some people love their job. So like I've spoken to school teachers. They love their job. They love, they're passionate about what they do. But if they can get one property a month and make an extra $10,000 a month,
they'll stop teaching.
No, they're gonna keep teaching.
No.
Because they like
it. Just supplements your lifestyle. Yeah.
Right.
Because it gives you what you want. Now, I've had people say that and then actually quit.
That's
about
what I'm thinking.
About that teaching.
Yeah, so.
He's not coming to work tomorrow.
So it really depends on your lifestyle where you want to be at.
Right.
For me, I wanted to run a multi-million dollar company. So we do between like 7 and 12 deals a month sometimes.
Okay.
And, you know, that's where we at. And we're not the largest. You know, we got guys across the country doing way more deals than that. But my overhead's pretty thin.
Mm-hmm.
And we have a good lifestyle doing what we do.
So what would be the, obviously depends on the market, but like in your market, mm-hmm. what's the profit margin on average deal for
our
you?
Our average deal is 13.3.
13,300.
Yeah, we track our KPIs pretty well.
Mm-hmm. What's KPI, what does that mean?
Key performance indicators. So you need to know, I need to know how much money I'm spending to get a deal, right? How many calls do I need to make to get a yes? Right, and then you start to get an average. How much money do I spend on this marketing effort before it turns into an appointment? How many appointments do I go on before it turns into a contract? And if you know your numbers in your business, and this is any business, then you can scale.
So you're doing 13,000 a deal, and you're doing 13 of those a month.
So it's like 100.
Well, our top end's 12, right? Between 7 and 12 deals a month. So we're average around like 10.
Let's say if you do 10, okay. So you're talking about 130,000 a month.
A month, yeah.
Good calendar.
Yeah. It's a good month.
Yeah.
Okay. So What is assignments? Now, you have the cash buyer, you have assignments.
Assignment is essentially you have that original contract with the seller, and you're going to assign your contract to that person. So let me give you an example. So let's just say you pull up, we sitting over at the bodega. I'm in New York, I use those words.
Right? Yeah, that's a fact.
You sit at the bodega and you pull up and you be like, yo, Max, I'm out of here, bro. I'm going to live in Vegas. You know I just got this new Mercedes right here. I don't want it. I paid cash for it. I paid $100,000 for it. I got it 2 years ago. Yo, give me $45,000 cash. You can have this. That's a brand new S550.
Mm-hmm. Take that.
Right? So do I have the money sitting at the bodega? Nah. But I know my man down here got a used car dealership. So I said, all right, meet me back here Friday with the money. I'm going to have the money for you. It's Monday. So I ain't got the money. But I'm going to go get it, right? Because it's important. So I'm going to go hit you up and say, yo, you know, I got a 2018 S550 for $50,000 for Friday. But you got to buy it Friday. My man said, cool, I'll bring you the money Friday. All right, meet me at the bodega. You meet me at the bogey date with 50. You said you wanted 40, 45. I'm going to hand you the money. You're going to hand me the key. I'm going to hand you the keys. You're going to give me, I got the middle part. You go sell it because that's your job. Your business is selling cars. You wash it up. You clean it. Put some tire shine on it. Stick it on the car lot for $75,000. It's still a deal.
And you made $5,000.
I made $5,000. You on a plane to Vegas because you just sick and tired of New York life, yeah. And you just supplementing your business. You just made a profit by investing your money.
So this is interesting.
So I signed my contract to him that I had with you. Now, when I signed that contract with you,
yeah,
for Friday, between Monday and Friday, what can you do with that car?
That's what it says.
Nothing. You couldn't sell it because if you sold it, I would have sued you for specific performance of a contract. So you couldn't, you already said to me, yo, all right, Friday, I wrote a contract. You're gonna give me that car on Friday and I'm gonna pay you the X amount.
Now, do you keep an attorney with you or are you just writing these contracts? How does this work?
Once you have a standard template contract, you have it. But this is real estate. Like, you know, nobody gonna run off with the house, right? But people know that, you know, you made an agreement. And here's what happens. When you pulled up with that car and we signed that contract, this is one part I did forget. We have what they call I gave you consideration on that contract, which means money. So when we signed that contract, I was like, yo, here go $100, hold on to that, and now I'm gonna get you the rest of the money Friday. Mm-hmm. So now you accepted this $100 for this contract. Now me and you in a valid contract with actual consideration. Right? Now, typically on real estate contracts, you have what you call a due diligence period. And usually that $100 in my market will buy you 10 days. So I know from the day I signed the contract with you on your house, I got 10 days to go out and find a buyer. If I can't find a buyer by the 7th, I'm gonna know in 24 hours because I'm gonna shoot the property out. If I can't find a buyers, I'm gonna call you up. Hey man, you know, I missed something on that house. Either we're gonna renegotiate or we are going to just cancel the contract.
How do you find a buyer?
Well,
They sharks. They have to spend money.
I was just thought about something. So correct me if I'm wrong, but all business is kind of the same. So these kind of business principles are very relatable. So from this is how I'm understanding it from my 30-minute education so far. The easiest way to go would to be, there's people that buy homes. There's real estate investors, right?
That's their job.
But they may not necessarily have time, or they don't want to knock on doors and cold call and all that. So now you, as essentially the broker in this situation, you're doing that work that they don't want to do, but they kind of need you and you need them. So you establish relationships with big time real estate investors in the neighborhood.
Mm-hmm.
You call them with deals. Look, I got this property, da 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 da. You establish good relationships with them, and they kind of become reoccurring clients. It makes your job easier because now you're not just winging it, trying to just find people, random people.
Right.
You develop strong relationships. It makes their job easier because they're not just winging it, trying to find random properties. They trust you because they know that you've established good relationships and you know good properties, you know good pricing.
Yep.
Is that correct?
You bring in a consistent product. They need to spend money. That's how they make their money. They decided to be on that side of the equation. They don't want to go, and that's why this business takes no money, because all it takes is hustle It didn't cost you nothing to go knock on that door right down the street. But once you have that house, now you need to be in relationships where you find people that
when you started.
Yeah.
How did you develop the relationship to get a buyer?
I put it on Facebook Marketplace.
That was it.
Yeah, and okay. The guy called, his wife called me.
Okay.
And then that weekend he agreed to buying it.
So do you have like a team of investors in your area now that you kind of like work with on a continuous basis?
I have about 600.
600.
So how do you like email blast it out to people?
Email blast and text blast. So we use MailChimp to send out emails, and we sell this send out. We use callloop.com to send out a blast text message.
Are they like fighting over the deal sometimes?
Oh yeah, that's what you want, a frenzy. Yeah. So you don't want to come buddy buddy with no investor.
No, it can't be too close.
Because I'm in a marketplace.
Business is business.
Yeah. So you say you're going to give me 50, but you say 52. Guess where I'm going. Right? Everybody got to eat.
Everybody got to eat.
All facts.
This is dope. This is actually pretty dope.
Now for the closing, I got a question. I saw this in one of your videos. A double closing. I've never heard that before. What is a double closing?
So essentially, people are not good with setting expectations, I like to say, with the buyer or seller, with your client.
Mm-hmm.
They don't know that you are going to make profit from this deal, or sometimes the profit is too much. Now, I will say not all the time. Sometimes the profit is just too much. So a double close is where you said, let's just say that house down the street we're talking about, instead of 30, you got it for 10,000.
Mm-hmm.
Right, and now you're selling it to the flipper for 50,000. So you're making a 40,000 spread.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes if you don't have the right buyers, they may be like, "I'm not paying you 50,000. You got it for 10, right?" But the numbers really work for him, but he's not giving you that. So sometimes you go ahead and use transactional funding to close on that first 10,000. And then turn around the next minute and sell it to my guy over here. But what happens is on a HUD sheet, which is a sheet that everybody has to use to close a property, it's gonna say what you bought it for. But if you do a double close, he's never gonna see that side of the transaction. Mm-hmm. So it's something that I tell people I've never done one.
Okay.
Right, so it's not really needed, especially if you just gotta set a good expectation. If you have good cash buyers, and this is one of my things I say to cash buyers, if I find a property for $1, and the numbers work for you at $100,000, would you be upset with me making a $99,000 fee? And if they say yes, kick them out. Because when you change your mindset, you realize money is not a limited thing. When I started to think that I had to get these properties because, you know, you got money, when I changed it and said, there's guys out here that if they don't flip houses, they don't eat. They need me. You know, so I no longer look at some money as a limited, you know, commodity.
Attorney state versus title state. What's the difference with that?
Let me see. New York is a attorney state, and North Carolina is an attorney state. So in states, you have two ways you can close a real estate transaction. Title companies, which essentially do the title research and look up the property, make sure it's free and clear, are called title states. They're mm-hmm. actual companies. And then you have attorney states where only attorneys are allowed to close real estate transactions. And North Carolina and New York is an attorney state.
Mm.
I believe Philly is a title company state, and Baltimore is a Baltimore.
What's the process of setting up a closing with a title company?
Yeah, so once you get that first contract with the homeowner, you're gonna send the contract to the title company or attorney and tell them to start title search. And all title search does is to make sure the property is owned free and clear.
Like no liens or anything?
No liens, no encumbrances on the property, and that it can be transferred smoothly to the new owner. And then once they do that, then once you have that paperwork and you're out finding your buyer, and then you call them and say, hey, look, I have an assignment of that contract I gave you. Mm-hmm. And all they're gonna do is switch your name with the new buyer's name, and your fee is written on that contract. And at the closing, you're gonna get your money, and then the seller's gonna get their money, and the buyer's gonna walk away with the property.
And the contract depends on each state. It's different, like state specific.
Typically it's different each state.
But once you have one, it's like a template.
You keep filling it out. Yeah.
My graduates from my school being Forbes, bag drop.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Save big on your Memorial Day barbecue, all in the Kroger app. Get half gallons of delicious Kroger milk for $1.29 each. Then get flavorful Tyson Natural Boneless Chicken Breasts for $2.49 a pound, all with your card and a digital coupon. Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.